With me, please. Turn with me to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. I'll try to hurry, but after all, the preaching of the cross is the most important thing. Amen? Acts chapter 3, continuing our story in the book of Acts, verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this story in the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the boldness of Peter and John here. Thank you for their obedience to you. And Lord, as we study this and apply it to our lives, I pray that you would encourage us and speak to our hearts. If there's one here today that has never asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, I pray that they would turn to you today and make that decision for him. Lord, I pray that you would challenge and encourage our hearts by your word. Hide me behind the cross. May your Holy Spirit speak to hearts today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The title of the message this morning is Beyond Expectations. Beyond Expectations. You see, the lame beggar here had a hope that turned into an expectation. He hoped for a copper coin or two. The smallest minted coin, just so you know, the smallest minted coin of the Roman Empire was worth 1/64th of the value of a denarius. And I'm not going to try to attempt to say the name of that coin. It's pretty weird. The denarius was about one day's pay for a Roman legionnaire. So the smallest coin you could give somebody was 1/64th of a day's pay. One copper coin, then, would be equivalent in comparison to our day's pay. So if our day's pay is about $100 average, the minimum wage is around $11.50 or something, I believe, in Washington. I don't even know what it is in Oregon. So if a day's wage is about $100, then 1/64th of $100 would be $1.50. $1.50. So one copper coin in our money is $1.50. This beggar's big hope was $1.50. A single solitary $1.50. And when Peter sets his gaze upon this beggar and tells him, Look on us, the lame man's hope was turned then into an expectation. Hey, somebody noticed me. Somebody is speaking to me, a beggar. Surely they're going to give me something. I now expect from this person that's talking to me, I fully expect to be given some money. He fully expected to be given $1, $1.50, a copper coin. He fully expected to be given a copper coin. Perhaps he even dared to imagine, since this was Peter and John, and Peter had said, look on us, plural, perhaps he dared to hope and expect that maybe he would receive two copper coins from these two men, one from each of them, the whopping sum of $3. I'm sure Peter and John could see the gleam of expectation in his eyes as he held out his alms bowl. What glee that finally someone in this busy street, someone as they went into the temple, someone has finally paid attention to me, a lame beggar on the side of the road beside the gate. Someone has finally noticed me laying here in the dust and dirt. Someone is finally going to give me a bit of charity so that I can buy a little bit of bread today. Could it be that from these two strangers, I'm about to receive $3 whole? Oh my. $3 measly dollars. If only he knew the person whom these particular two men represented, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine coming face to face with the Apostle Peter or the Apostle John and having the opportunity to ask a blessing from Peter or from John? Brother, I'm so glad you're here today. You have so much spiritual wealth to give us. Could you give me $3? Even $1.50, that'd be fine. That'd be enough. Oh my goodness. Of course, that's the first thing that pops into your mind that you would ask Peter and John. Can I have $3? Could I have $1.50? That would be enough from you, Peter. That's all I expect from you, John. No more. That's all. That anything more would be too much to ask. Oh my goodness, how much was this lame beggar missing? He ought to have grabbed Peter's hand and said, "Tell me about the Savior. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me what Jesus was like. You lived with him for 3 years, 3.5 years. Tell me of the sound of his voice. What did he sound like? How did it feel when the Prince of Life looked into your eyes? Peter, what is the most precious thing about the very person of the Son of God to you? What was the most precious thing that you can tell me about my Savior? John, tell me what it was like when the very Son of God put his hand around you. What were the emotions going through your heart when Jesus Christ did that? How much this lame beggar was missing. No, just give me $3. Or even $1.50, that's enough. That was more than I had before. That's all I really expect from you. It's more than most people give me after all. Wow. Isn't the lame man here a perfect picture of a lost man? He does not ask or even necessarily want the cure for his real problems. He didn't ask Peter, "Would you heal me in the name of Jesus? That's my real problem as I lay here as a beggar." No, he just wanted a fix for the time being. Would you give me $3? Would you give me $1.50 so I can buy my next meal? And that's like the lost man today. He just wants a fix for his current situation. I'm losing my house. I could really use some help. I lost my job. I need some work. I lost my girlfriend or my boyfriend. I need saves from my feelings. I'm sick. I need to get better. I have a disease. I need healed. I need the cure. The lame man said, "I'm hungry. I need $1.50. Or $3 even. Would really help me out here. $3 would really be a blessing." But what he received was far and away beyond his expectations. He was not given a sum of money that would be that would be his one moment and gone the next. He was healed of his lifelong debilitation. He was given the ability to function as an individual for the first time in his life. You see, he was lame from his mother's womb. Never in his life was he able to walk on his own. For the first time in his life, he could do things without relying upon others' help for basic functions and basic needs and basic mobility. This lame beggar was given the gift of being whole for the first time throughout his entire body, the first time in his life. For the first time in his life, he could stand vertically. We don't even think about that. This beggar had never stood vertically from head to toe. At some point, his body was always reclined. Some part of him was always reclined. For the first time, he could stand up just like all other men can. For the first time, he could carry his own weight. He didn't have to have his friends carry him from one spot to the next. He could go wherever he wanted to go. He didn't have to have help to get there anymore. He could run there if he wanted to. He could skip there if he wants to. He could hop if he so chose. For the very first time ever in his life, he was given the gift here of being able to work for a living for the first time in his life. He could now provide for himself. He no longer had to be a beggar, an outcast of society. He could now be a respectable member of society. This beggar asked for an alms, and he was given healing and the opportunity of eternal life. Not only was he healed, not only was his status in society made whole, but he was also given the chance to have his sins forgiven and to have everlasting life in heaven with the Lord Jesus. The Bible does not tell us for sure in this story. It does not say for sure what happened to that man. But I think that this man most likely did get saved. You see, he was praising God afterwards. And if you look forward in chapter 4, look with me in chapter 4 of Acts, verse 14. After the apostles were arrested, this young man, this 40-year-old man, excuse me, he's a young man to some people. This 40-year-old man did not forsake the apostles when they were arrested. He stood with them. Verse 14 says, "And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, the arrested apostles, they could say nothing against it." I kind of believe that this man did get saved. The Bible doesn't tell us he did for sure, but I think he did. This man was healed of his infirmity, and he could accept eternal life. It was far and away beyond his expectations for the day. The apostles had an expectation for their day too. They expected to go into the temple, pray, and then preach the gospel. That was what they had set out to do. They expected that God was going to add to His church today, as He had been doing daily, as the verse says in Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." That was their expectation. We're going to go pray in the temple at the hour of prayer, and then while everybody's there, after prayer time has stopped, but everybody's still there, we're going to preach the gospel to those people. And we know the Lord is going to add to the church today such as should be saved, as He has been doing. Remember, they had a glorious day on Pentecost when 3,000 souls had been converted. And since then, smaller groups of people, couples and single people, had been daily getting saved. This was their expectation for this day as well. They did not expect Pentecost to happen again. They knew that that was a one-time event. They expected a group of people, a small group of people, 20, 30, maybe even 100 people would get saved if we go and preach the gospel in the temple. Their day, what Jesus did for them, was far beyond their expectations. You see, this is the very first miracle that they have done. This is the very first miracle the apostles, at least recorded, have done since Jesus went back to heaven. They had not done any miracles since Jesus left, as far as we know. They did not know that God was going to work a miracle through them that morning when they left home. They did not set out to find somebody that was sick or crippled to heal on their way to prayer. In fact, I'm pretty sure they set out with the full intention to go pray first thing at the temple before they started to preach. And you know what? They never got there. They never got to pray. God intervened in their plans and brought this man to their attention. The Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said, "Heal that man." Notice that Peter was flexible to the Holy Spirit's leading. Peter didn't say, "Whoa, I have to stick to the plan. The plan is the plan, and we have to do it. I was coming here today to pray, Lord. So we need to pray first, right, Lord? And we need to pray for what we're about to do. We need to pray for the preaching of the gospel and ask your blessing on our day. I got to go pray first. This lame beggar, he'll be here when I get back. We'll pray, we'll preach, and then, Lord, I'll heal this beggar." No, he didn't say that. His plans changed when the Holy Spirit prompted him. He didn't have to go pray for God's blessing. He just had to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And because they obeyed that leading, God worked a great miracle through them. And that miracle, the news of that miracle, quickly spread through the immediate area. Thousands gathered to see the man walking, whom they had seen as a broken cripple laying against the wall. And I'm sure Peter preached with all his heart to those thousands of people. This day that had started out so normal for the apostles became a greater day for winning souls than the day of Pentecost had been. They won 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost. Look with me at Acts 4, verse 4. This is the same day. Howbeit, many of speaking of the same day, or at least, excuse me, speaking of the day and night where they were arrested, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000 men. I don't know if that means mankind in general, or if that means men, and then there were women that got saved. But 5,000 people were born again that day. This was way beyond their expectations. They didn't have any idea that today was going to be a bigger day than Pentecost was. That was like the biggest day ever. And there's no way that could ever be repeated, but God did it anyway. And God did it greater than He had before. He, the Lord Jesus, went far beyond their expectations for the day. And I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is beyond our expectations. You see, if eternal life was the only thing He offered, that would be enough, wouldn't it? If forgiveness of sins and escaping from hellfire and torment were the only thing He offered, that would be enough. That would be tremendous. But that's not the only thing He offers. He offers far more than that. Far more than what would be plenty. Than what would have been enough. He goes way beyond. He offers a home forever in a place more glorious than we could hope to comprehend. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man," speaking of the imagination of man, "the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him." A home far beyond any imagination, anything you could hope to ever see on this earth. He offers that to you. An eternal home. He offers His unbounded love to you without reservation. 1 John 4:10. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." John 15:13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's the greatest love a man can have. Jesus Christ laid down his life for his enemies. That is the greatest love there could ever be. And he offers that love to you and I. Not only that, he offers to change you into the mirror image of himself. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You can be the express image of the perfection of Jesus Christ. He offers that to you. Not only that, and this is way beyond all expectation, but he offers more. God the Father offers to adopt you into his family as his child. Galatians 4:5-7, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. God offers you sonship, daughtership, to be his child. Not only does he offer for you to be his child and for you to be his heir, Jesus Christ offers something more than that. When Jesus was the only heir of the God of the universe, you see, all that belonged to God was going to belong to Jesus. He was the only heir. When that was Jesus's the end that Jesus looked forward to. I am the only heir of my Father. At that point, the Lord Jesus Christ offered you something. He offered to be your elder brother within the family of God, and not to be the only heir, but to share the wealth of the Father as joint heir of the Father with you. He will give you everything that he gets. Joint heir. Not a younger heir. You'll get a percentage. You'll get 1%. No, I get 50%. You get 50%. What I get, you get. You are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may all be also glorified together. He offers more. He offers to be your closest friend, the most faithful of friends, a friend who will never leave you alone. John 15:14. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Hebrews 13:5. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He offers more than that. He offers to be your comforter, your guide, your shepherd, your defender, your redeemer, your husband, your intercessor, your propitiation. I could go on and on and on what Jesus Christ offers to you. He offers far more than I could ever explain. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is far beyond the greatest expectations. This lame man had an expectation. He received something way beyond what he expected to get. The Bible says there in verse 10, go back with me to the last phrase there, talking about the people around them. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Isn't that the way we ought to be? I ought to be filled, and when I think about what Jesus has done for me, I am filled with wonder at what Jesus did. He took a wicked little boy, washed him and made him his child. He took a broken, lame beggar, full of sin, and made him his beloved child. He took a little boy that was going to be a pervert, a little boy that would have ended up being a drunk womanizer. I know I would have. And he saved me from that sin. Praise God. What about you? Remember where you were when Jesus saved you? Where was that? What place of your life were you at? Where were you going as far as not physically, but spiritually? Well, I was going to the mall. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where was your life headed when Jesus saved you? Where would you be today? I'd probably be dead. I'd probably have taken a sports car and zipped around a curve and flew off the road and crashed into a telephone pole or a tree. Probably where I would be today, in the grave. Not only where would you be today, but where are you today in comparison to where you were the day He saved you? To where you were going moments before you were born again. And as you were there in that state, whatever state you were when Jesus saved you, when you were in that place, could you have imagined at that time that God would do for you what He has done in your life since then? Praise God. He is far beyond all expectations. I pray that you'll take the time today to do what these people did, to wonder and be amazed at God's incomprehensible love for you that He has poured out upon your life. Where was I going? What was I involved in? And Jesus saved me out of that and has taken me all the way to where I am today. I could never have imagined that from that spot of sin and degradation, I could be where I am now. That is the truth for every single one of us. Doesn't matter how young you were when you got saved. I was saved when I was 6 years old. Jesus saved me from so many sins that I would have gotten into. I would have been a drunk. It was in the family. I probably would have been in cigarettes. It was in the family. I probably would have been a womanizer. It's in my heart. But Jesus saved me from those sins. Praise God. What did He save you from? And where are you today? Will you wonder at our amazing Savior and His amazing love? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank You so much for pouring out Your love on lost sinners like us. We didn't know You. We didn't want to know You. Many of us cursed Your name, and yet You saved us anyway. Lord Jesus, thank You so much for Your amazing love. If there's one here today, Lord Jesus, that does not know You as their Savior, has not accepted Your forgiveness of sins, has not turned to You and bowed their heart and said, "Lord Jesus, save me." If there is someone here today that is lost. Lord Jesus, I pray that your love would woo that heart to you today. Your love would draw that one to Christ. Bless now the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together.